at 9:40 on this Friday morning. A new report out this week from the Bipartisan Policy Center tracking the federal funding as it relates to curbing the opioid epidemic. And we want to see how those monies are being spent and how they could maybe be better spent. I mean, apparently the preliminary data suggests that rates of opioid deaths are up. And maybe up even more significantly in this current year due to the COVID-19 crisis. Joining us right now, the chief medical advisor for the Bipartisan Policy Center. He's also from Michigan, adjunct professor of health management and policy at University of Michigan School of Public Health, Dr. Anand Parekh. Dr. Parekh, good morning. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good to be with you.
So it looks like we're not winning the war on opioid addiction, are we?
Now, Paul, we're in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic, but it is an important reminder, I think, for all of us that we're also still in the midst of this opioid use disorder epidemic, which claims over 50,000 American lives every year. So there's been quite a bit of effort on all levels, the government, private sector, to combat the epidemic, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
And I know this study really looks very closely at the federal dollars that are being spent. What did you find in this study? What were some of the key findings?
Yeah, that was really our question. Given the size of the epidemic, how's the federal government really supporting states like Michigan and the localities? And so the report is really a comprehensive, transparent analysis of every single federal funding stream to help states and localities. We identified about 60 different programs totaling about $7.6 billion in 2019. Of that $7.6 billion, about $175 million came to the state of Michigan. Now, three-quarters of this funding go to prevention and treatment, recovery activities. A small share also goes to interdiction, which is important, given that we know that illicit fentanyl continues to drive the epidemic. We also found that increasing overdose deaths due to polysubstance use. So it's not just about opioids. We're seeing methamphetamine, we're seeing cocaine, multiple substances of use. We're also seeing increasing rates in communities of color. So there is a changing aspect of the epidemic here. This is not just a rural phenomenon. This is rural and urban. It's all races. And so I think the real theme of the paper is that constant vigilance is what we need.
Yeah, absolutely. How does Michigan stack up against other states, by the way, as far as receiving and using these federal funds?
Michigan receives, a significant share of federal funding. It is a more populous state. It receives funding from many of the federal agencies like the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the NIH, Department of Justice, Substance Abuse Mental Health Service Administration. It's important to know that the opioid death rate, based on the last concrete numbers we had in 2018, Michigan's death rate is higher than the United States. Now, between 2018 and 2019, provisionally, it looks like overdose deaths did decrease in Michigan. That's good. But to your point at the outset, there is concern now in 2020 with COVID-19 that there are likely some barriers. Barriers to access the gold standard medication-assisted treatment, as well as barriers to harm reduction services, which can also save lives. So, there's a concern that the numbers in 2020 might go back up. We've seen some internal Michigan data as well suggesting potentially more overdoses. So, again, this is an epidemic that we need to track very closely.
Federal funding often comes with strings attached. Were you able to discern in this study, Doctor, are there some disconnects between federal and state and even local governments when this money trickles down from the feds down to the state and local level? Are there some things that could be better done to coordinate efforts?
Yeah. There are three points, I think, exactly to that point, three findings, recommendations that Bipartisan Policy Center has made. The first is really to examine some of these federal rules and regulations which are likely serving a barrier to treatment. Now, for example, during COVID-19, we have been able to use telemedicine to initiate opioid use disorder treatment, the medication. We have been able to use take-home methadone doses from opioid treatment facilities. So these are good things that probably ought to be extended. On the other hand, there are rules and regulations, like there are onerous trainings that healthcare professionals need to go through just to prescribe buprenorphine or medication-assisted treatment. There are also then patient caps on how many people can be treated. Some of these rules and regulations need to be reexamined. I think also with respect to Medicaid, Michigan has expanded Medicaid. That is important, but there are still, in some cases, prior authorizations and other aspects to the Medicaid program that limit treatment. And that's important because nationally, 4 in 10 Medicaid beneficiaries, or 4 in 10 individuals with opioid use disorder, are Medicaid beneficiaries. So I think that was probably one big takeaway. The second takeaway is we need to continue focusing on at-risk populations, so incarcerated populations upon reentry, pregnant women, postpartum, injection drug users. These are all at-risk populations for overdose. There needs to be more of a focus at the federal, state, local level there. And then I think the final point, Paul, is what we're hearing from states and localities are they need continued commitment from the federal government. They need sustainable funding. More funding is going to be important, given that only a minority of individuals with opioid use disorder are actually on the gold standard medication-assisted treatment. That being said, existing funding, it needs to be transparently evaluated. We need to better understand what's working, what's not working. We need to hone in on communities of color where we're seeing increasing rates of overdose. So lots of learnings here. I think pearls for how the federal government can be a better partner, but also some lessons learned for states and localities.
A really valuable bit of research, no doubt about it. Dr. Parekh, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Paul. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.